We have this month launched into a study of Proverbs, and we have entitled the series, Foolproofing Your Life. How to foolproof your life, how to keep from being deceived, how to make sure that you are not duped. And Solomon had much to say on that subject, and we have been studying his words. In that fourth chapter, 23rd verse says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." And today's message is entitled, "It Starts in the Heart." It starts in the heart. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus' words were these, "A good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart." It is what is in you that will be soon out of you. I had a guy that worked for me as a foreman on an oil rig at one point in time, and his favorite phrase was, "Whatever is on my mind will be on my lips shortly." That is both a good and a bad trait. Sometimes what is on your mind doesn't need to be on your lips shortly. Particularly what was on his mind didn't need to be on his lips shortly. But it was just the way he was. It was the way he was wired. You come to understand that. But for all of us, those things we think about, those things that motivate us, those things that are critical to us, have a tendency to be the things that we talk about, think about, and share. There are a lot of things about the heart that are fascinating. It's a muscle about the size of your hand in the middle of your chest. Last night I was watching, and Joylene watched with me briefly, the beginning of the NASCAR race. And at Bristol, they always have the children of the drivers sing the national anthem. And it's always fun because you got the little kids down there singing the national anthem. And one of the moms was taking movies, taking cell phone, taking video, and she had it in her right hand. So she had her left hand over her heart, kind of, sort of. But it's in the middle of the chest, so you give it the best shot you got. You know, you're in here somewhere. And we laughed about that. But mom, the video is more important than getting it right, right? But it's in there somewhere. It averages, they tell us, the heart averages about 72 beats a minute. And it pumps oxygen and other nutrients to the lungs and the body. We know that. We also understand that it helps clear the waste out of the body. That's part of what it pumps to do. It's an amazing pump, truly. Four chambers in the heart, two at the top, atria, two at the bottom, ventricles, and they pump together four times in 72 beats a minute. That is a total of roughly 100,000 times a day, if you separated them out, that they would be beating. That's pretty amazing muscle in the middle of your body. And blood courses through about 15,000 miles of circulation system in your body. Now, Kevin's got a whole lot more than I do, just the way it is. I don't know, Kev. I've got some more out here that it might balance out. But about 15,000 miles of circulation system that blood is passed through. Don't know if you know it, but the lifespan of a blood cell is about 120 days. That's the normal span of a blood cell. And it will take roughly, in those 120 days, 75,000 round trips from the heart through your body and back. It's an amazing, you know, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are an amazing creation. "I will praise you," the psalmist said, "because I have been remarkably made. Your works are wonderful." All those things are just mind-boggling to me. That being true, let me ask you this. What is the greatest cause of death in America today? Abortion. Abortion. Going away. Not even close. Heart disease is the greatest killer of adults. Gotcha on that one. Okay, But there's a reason for that, and there's a reason that I brought it up. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Solomon said, guard your heart. What we have become is very desensitized to life. We're desensitized through our TV programs. We're desensitized through the games we play. Our kids are growing up without a love for and appreciation of what life is about. Forgive me, abortion is not a choice. It's a life. Now, I know politically I'm going to tick some of you off. Well, get ticked, okay? Because my job is not to be here and be political, but my job is to stand here and be moral. And it is immoral to kill a baby. And it is not moral to say that that is a choice. If that's the logic you want to use, then I will say that the young man who went to El Paso, it was his choice. And the fact that he happened to slaughter a bunch of people, hey, it's a choice. That's the same logic. And what's amazing to me is the people who get so upset about the shootings at our high school that kill children are the same people that are very comfortable throwing babies into a dumpster at Planned Parenthood. Same folks out of the heart. It's time to foolproof your life. God says it's out of a heart that the life is lived. Guard your heart. I don't like Trump. I don't like Trump either. I liked Obama less, but I didn't make a big deal of it. Okay? It's not about a personality. It's about what's right and wrong. And the things that are being espoused to kill babies, kill our population, overrun our country, I'm sorry, that's immoral. And it's coming from a heart that wants to do away with anything that has to do with God. The Bible says it's going to happen, and we're living it. We're right in the middle of it. Scripture says heart failure. Scripture. Science says heart failure is the number one killer of adults. I believe it. In Luke, we read these words, people will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world because the celestial powers are shaken. People are afraid. Read the newspaper. People are scared. The economy goes up, goes down. Stock market goes up 1,000 points one day, drops 973 the next day. There is no stability in anything that's going on. Heart disease. Symptoms of heart disease. Heaviness. People walk around, they're tired all the time. And it's from carrying around all the stress in our society that's there. They have irregular heartbeats. Palpitations. Irregular heartbeats. Pain in the chest. Disorientation. Dizziness. Nausea. All of those are physical to a heart attack, into a heart problem, but they're also spiritual. All of those things that are going on go on in the spiritual man as well. There are common causes of heart trouble. High blood pressure, hypertension, improper diet. Anybody remember the old computer term when we were just learning it? GIGO? What did it mean? Garbage in, garbage out. Same thing. When you feed on things, that's what comes out. Cigarettes, diet, lack of exercise, lack of proper rest and peace. All those things cause heart problems. All those things spiritually cause heart problems. When you don't feed on the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. When that's not done, then don't be surprised when you're cold to the things of God. You don't understand the things of God. You live in a different world and suddenly things become a choice. Don't be surprised because you don't have anything to balance it on. If I was going to be an astrophysicist, wouldn't it make sense that at some point I ought to learn how to decipher properly astrophysics? If I want to learn how to live life, wouldn't it make sense that somewhere along the line I would learn the principles for living life? They're not contained in an astrophysics book. They're contained in the Word of God. They have been eternal from the beginning. They still are, and they always will be. They'll never change. There are more than four chambered hearts in the middle of our chest that pump our life. The scripture we read this morning that Danny read to us began with, guard your heart. Be careful of your heart. Take care of your heart. It's the operation of your human life. It's the home of your personal life. It's the seat of your conscience, your character. Back in the old days, before science understood that there's a dichotomy with the heart and the mind being able to think, the heart was thought of to do all of those things, because everybody understood that if your heart quit beating, you quit. You're done. It's all done. So everything was there. And the term heart and soul were used interchangeably. Jesus said that you were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Your emotions, your will, all of your energies were to be put forth in loving God. Do you see that in our society today? I see the energy being put forth to separate us from God. And then I hear preachers aren't supposed to talk about that because that's political. Forgive me, it's a choice. And the choice that I make is to tell you what the Word of God says. What you do with it is your choice. Mark chapter 12, love Him with all your heart. Love Him with your understanding. Love Him with your strength. And love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. More important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Matthew chapter 8 said, blessed, happy, satisfied are the pure in heart, for they're the ones that shall see God. We need a change in our heart in America. We need to get back to the old principles. I know I sound like a fogey. I get it. But those principles work. And in Jeremiah, it said, let us find the old paths and walk therein. And that was in Jeremiah's day. It's even the more so true today. Listen, it's not, the problem isn't guns. We've had guns forever. I had a gun in my pickup truck when I was in high school. I had one. We had guns. My family had always had, but we didn't go around shooting each other. We just didn't do it. The problem's not the gun. The problem's the person who's pulling the trigger. That's the problem. And the problem is in the heart. It's out of the heart that that violence comes. When the only way you can solve your problems is to be violent, it tells me you're missing something. You've not found another way to reason. There was a great theologian, lived back in the 50s. His name was Hank Williams. And Hank Williams wrote a song that is probably as theologically sound as any song that was ever penned, and he was famous for it. Remember the song? Your cheating heart will tell on you. You'll cry, you'll cry. You're going to try to sleep. What did I just read you out of Proverbs? But sleep, it won't come that whole night through. Why not? Because your cheating heart is going to tell on you. You didn't know he was a gospel writer, did you? Now get the rest of it. When tears come down like falling rain, what are you going to do? You'll walk around and you'll call my name. Wow. You're going to walk the floor like the father of that prodigal son, the way I do. Your cheating heart, it's going to catch up. And it's going to tell on you. You'll pine someday for the love you threw away. The time will come when you'll be blue. Because you see your cheating heart will tell on you. You know why that song was so popular? Because it's the absolute, unmitigated truth. And every single human being can identify with it and go, yeah. And folks, it's true with God. We cheat. We cheat. And He says it's going to catch up with you. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So when somebody tells you, hey, I've got this thing all together, what they are is deceived. For Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a transplant. We all need that new heart that can come only from God. Psalm 51 is the greatest psalm of repentance. That was David after Bathsheba. And he was talking to God, and he said, I was guilty when I was born and sinful when my mother conceived me. What he was saying there in a figurative way is, there's nothing good in me. And let me give you a lights on. Let me just give you a heads up. There's nothing good in you. And there's sure enough nothing good in me. I know that. I get it. The only thing good in me is what Christ has done in my life. That's it. Take that out of my life, and Dwayne Miller isn't worth burning. And neither are you. The only thing we've got going for us is Christ. And that psalmist, as he recognized his sin with what he did to Bathsheba's husband, what he did with Bathsheba, how he abused his power. By the way, that was sexual abuse. You do know that, correct? That was termed sexual abuse. He would have made Jeff Epstein look like a saint. All right, that's what was going on right there. Our vernacular today fitted in. Hasn't changed. He was using his power, and he did, for the wrong purposes. When he finally had it dawn on him, this is what he said. God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Now, I like the word renew. It indicates that once upon a time, my head was straight. I got off over here, put my heart back, and renew that steadfast spirit in me. Please don't banish me from your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me. By the way, I've heard that verse misquoted all my life. I've heard people say, restore the joy of my salvation. That's not what it says. It's restore the joy of your salvation. I don't have a salvation except His. It's His salvation for me. Restore your salvation to me and give me a willing spirit. There are things in my life that I don't want to do. My heart is set on something else, and I don't want to do that. Okay? I don't want to do that. I don't want to drive that Pinto station wagon. I want the Ferrari. My heart is set on that Ferrari. I don't want the Pinto station wagon. What did we drive, Joylene? The Pinto station wagon. You know what I had to pray? Lord, I am not willing to drive that Pinto. But I am willing to be made willing. I'm going to go through that prayer one more time because I want you to learn it. It's a good prayer. Lord, I'm not willing to do that. If I'm left on my own and it's my choice, I'm not willing to do that. I'm honest. But I'm willing to be made willing. That's a big deal. When I learned how to pray like that, I grew up a little. I matured a little. God taught me what it was to have a steadfast heart and spirit. Gang, that's what's required in us. We're all spoiled. Most of us, we can walk out and get the things we need, want. We have them. Thank you, Lord. However, there are still things in our lives that we need to be made willing to serve and to do. I'm willing to be made willing. There is a cure for a broken heart. Some of us have one. The Lord is near those of us who are brokenhearted. He saved the crushed in spirit. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up our wounds. Those are promises. But if you don't read them, if you don't spend time in the Word, if you're not on your knees, if that's not soaking into your spirit, you're not doing the things to give your heart health. If all you're eating is junk food, the 6 o'clock news, if that's all you're eating is junk food, don't be surprised when you have a spiritual heart attack. Somewhere in there, you got to nourish it and you got to exercise. I don't like to spend time on my knees praying, but I'm willing to be made willing. Frankly, I don't like walking by most of your houses. But I have been told that if I don't, there are repercussions. And so guess what? You see me out walking past your houses. I've been made willing to walk past that house. for the heart. God desires that thankful heart. Bill Borden grew up in Chicago. Bill Borden was one of the wealthiest young men. His family was the Borden Dairy people. And when he was 7 years old, his mom took him to Moody Church in Chicago. If you're ever in Chicago and get a chance to go to Moody Church, named for D.L. Moody, that's where it began. If you ever get a chance to go to Moody Church, please do. That's one of the historic churches in America. A lot of the rest of us owe, in one way or another, a connection to Moody Church, somehow. Well, he grew up at Moody Church as a young boy. And he was raised, of course, with the best of everything. Materially, had everything he wanted. Educationally, everything he needed. Spiritually, he was in the church, and he was a young man, was baptized, believer. When he attended high school, he excelled academically. He excelled athletically. He was one of those kids that had everything. He had the money, had the looks, he had the abilities, he had the athletics. So as a reward, when he graduated from high school, his father sent him on a trip around the world. That was his graduation present, was a world trip. And this is back right around 1900. So as he's sailing around the world, there were several missionaries on that ship that were bound for Asia. One of them, on one of his letters home, he said, "Although I've never thought seriously about being a missionary, I think this trip is going to show me some things in a new light." So he sailed from Japan through mainland Asia and then to Europe. In England, he went to church and he got to hear R.A. Torrey preach. Now, R.A. Torrey is another one of those princes of preachers who has written books that the rest of us have studied from. And Borden got to hear him preach and was deeply moved as he stood and sang, "I surrender all." Tears came coursing down his cheeks. When he returned home to the States, he enrolled at Yale University. And he completed his college education. And while he was there, he joined 4,000 other students at a convention in Nashville. By the way, did you see on mainstream media this week that there were 37,000 young teenagers that took over St. Louis? Did you see that on CBS, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, any of that? No, you didn't see that there. What they were there, they're all Christians. Didn't see that, did you? Didn't see that they were there to do good. Didn't see that they cleaned up after themselves and there was nothing that needed to be cleaned up when they left. Didn't see that, did you? Don't ever forget there are agendas. Be careful of the junk food you put in your system. Bill Borden attended one of those in Nashville, Tennessee with 4,000 other kids. And in this convention, there were missionaries from 26 different countries. One of them was Samuel Zwemer, again, very, very famous missionary. And he was making an appeal to come and do ministry to Muslims. When I read this the other day and was preparing and thinking about it, I thought, well, that's Scott Sullivan. That's the call he heard. And Zwemer said to the group, he said, "Now, it's going to cost you your life. It's not an expedition of ease. It's not a picnic. It's going to cost many, many lives, many prayers, many tears, and much blood." Borden returned to Yale and finished his education, but he could never forget that Sunday night that he heard Zwemer speak. He opened his heart to the needs of the Muslim people around him, and he decided that there were things he could do right there in New Haven. So he took money out of his own pocket, and he opened a rescue mission right there in New Haven, Connecticut. And Bill Borden would go down every night to this rescue mission, and he would spend time with guys who were drunks and down and out, Skid Row guys, and he would spend every night with them, talking to them about Christ, talking to them about a new heart, talking to them about a change in their life, and paying for all of it out of his own pocket, every bit of it. Never asked for a dime from anybody. He was concerned that preaching and the work of Christ could be done around the world, but it could be done right there in New Haven. So, Bill Borden, athletic, brilliant, worth 40, 50, 100 million, was in ministry with those who hurt the most. Following his graduation from Yale, he attended Princeton Seminary. He graduated in 1912. This is what was said about him by one of his classmates, and it was really interesting. He said, "No one would have ever known from Borden's life and talk that he was a multimillionaire. But no one could have helped knowing that he was a Christian and alive for missions." Wow, what a great thing to be said. And this guy's, you know, in his 20s, 22, 23, 24, never knew he had a fortune, but you wouldn't have ever not known that he was a Christian and had a heart for people. He decided he would go to the mission field, and he went to Egypt for language study. He got to Egypt, and when he arrived in Cairo, within weeks, he became gravely ill and died. He was 25 years old when he died. Under his pillow, when they went to move his body, there was a note that he had put under his pillow. And the note said, "No reserve, no retreat, no regrets." And that's what he slept on at night. When his will was opened, he left his fortune, his part of it, to missions. And most of you don't know that every time you bought Borden's condensed milk or Borden's whatever, piece of that goes to spreading the gospel around the world, and it does to this day. Welch's does the same thing. Borden's does the same thing. There have been a lot of folks that have had a lot of money that Christ changed what? The heart. It starts in the heart. It starts here. What can I give? What can I do? Whether it's with a down-and-out Skid Row, whether it's going to Tennessee Colony, whatever it is, what can I do now, here, today? What can I share with somebody? The kingdom of heaven is greatest among those who serve. The response is to a higher calling. When Jesus becomes the master passion of our lives, then our material wealth and everything else takes its rightful place. It starts in the heart. The prayer is a song. It's in your bulletin. How many of you know it? You know the song? Good. "Change my heart, O God." This is prayer. We're going to pray this together. "Change my heart and make it ever true. Let me be like you. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me and make me." That's what I pray. "Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true." It starts in the heart. A commitment to Jesus Christ, a life change, changing our community, changing our world, changing our culture. It all starts in your heart. "Change my heart, O God." Stand with me.